Thank you, Lord. All right. You got the pastor's letter. Has that been passed out? Right? All right. Oh, good, good, good. You know, the pastor's letter, I'm just going to make mention, is a reaching forward spirit. And, you know, I just lift that up to you. And do you take that and use it during the week? All right? Use it during the week. And praise the name of the Lord. I've got several things. I'm going to be preaching on prosperity. This is going to be called the Four Corners of Prosperity. I'll get to that in just a moment. But announcing a few things and intertwining it with just the things that we're doing right now. You know, as you walk out, you see the banner back there. It says October Intercessory Prayer. Take the ground back, and we're going to do what God's called the church to do, you know, and all of our authority that we have in the realm of the Spirit. And then that's where things happen. You know, and that's where the church many times has failed, because without the Spirit of God, we do not have any power. We do not have any influence over other people. There's been pouring outs of the Spirit variously times that the Lord has moved, and He's so good and gracious. But we want to do the work of the church. And so we're going to enter into this intercessory prayer and this warfare. It'll concern you in your own life, okay? It'll concern you in your own life. It'll concern us claiming souls for the kingdom of God, and God removing the spiritual darkness and the spiritual blindness that's on the hearts and the minds of men. So this is what we're going to be doing. This will be every Sunday evening that we will do this from 5 to 6 p.m. This will be on the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th. And so prepare to be here. And let's seek after the face of the Lord. All right? Praise the name of the Lord. Beatrice, why don't you come on up? And I'm preaching on prosperity as we announce where we're at and what we're doing about our sound system. We've got a fundraiser going on, right? This is a need in our church. And our goal is is $20,000. Over onto the left, the right, as you go out on the bulletin board over there, you'll see where we show a measuring line. I'm going to ask you to do something, and that is, if you feel led, but I want you to go over there, and I want you to put your hand on that thermometer, and I want you to say, "Be blessed in Jesus' name." All right? All right? You do it when you want to do it, and do it only if you feel led to do it. But it's right over here as you walk out. All right, so I want you to do that. So I'm happy to announce, and I said we were going to celebrate when we reached increments of fulfilling this need, and it's a great need. We really have a great need here, right? You know, there's many times when, I'll just be honest, okay? I feel propelled that I have to keep my voice up to a certain level, all right? There's times when I sense or feel a tenderness in God that I'd like to lower my voice and speak and reveal that tenderness to you, but I don't do it for fear that you won't hear me. That's a hindrance. And then anyway, so this is a legitimate need. Anyway, glory to God, we announce what we've done here. If we've met the 5,000 mark, we are now at $5,283, glory to God. Let's praise God for that. All right, I said we were going to celebrate. I'm having Beatrice right now. She's going to pray a prayer of blessing and thanksgiving on behalf of all of the saints in their love and obedience to God.
Verses 14, 15, and 17. It says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Father, we just want to thank you. I thank you very much, Lord God, for your servants who have willingly and expressed their love for you through giving to this project that we have here in this church. Father, I am releasing your blessing. Let the blessing of the Almighty God rest upon every single soul, every single heart that is here. I know some may not have the money, but they have the heart to give. Lord, you remember that. You bless that heart, even of that who doesn't have, but yet would love to do something. Father, I want to bless your name for the mark that we have reached. Lord, we are excited to see greater things come forth. We are excited to see your hand move in this. We are excited to see you at work in everything that concerns this project, Lord God. I thank you for each one. Bless us abundantly. Bless and increase each one accordingly. Thank you, Father, for the love that they have shown toward you, that the deed that they have done, Lord, is unto you, to your glory. Be glorified, Lord, in our midst. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Dennis, why don't you come forward, okay? Hey. Thank you. Dennis is going to give us a testimony here in relationship to these things.
Amen. God is good, isn't he? And love is the currency of heaven. It is the currency. It opens all doors of blessings. It opens all doors of healing. It opens everything. Love is a currency of heaven. God is so good. He is so good. I'm going to give a little testimony about love and blessings and tithing. Blessings are, of course, not dependent upon God. They're dependent upon us moving where we need to be, getting the things out of our life that are not supposed to be there, and moving closer to the Lord. I'd have been gone so long ago from this earth if the Lord hadn't had his hand on me. I saw a testimony last week about a guy who was dead for 11 hours. And they said if he came back, he'd be brain dead. He went to heaven. He saw hell. He said we have a guardian angel given to us at birth that stays with us our whole entire life. And I sat back there and I'm sweating and got stage fright and everything else. But anyway, I'll try to get through this. I was raised by a dad who was a workaholic. My mother was a Christian, a Baptist. And at 6 years old, he built a chicken house, 3,000 laying hens. And he got a job on the boats. He's gone for 3 weeks at a time and home 3 weeks. And the 3 weeks he was home, we had to try to get 6 weeks worth of work done. I got up every morning at 5 o'clock till I was a junior in high school and cased eggs that we gathered the day before. We had pigs, we had cows, we had row crops, we had tobacco. We had a lot of stuff to do. And he taught me to work, which is a wonderful good thing. My mother always said to tithe, but they never did. My dad always said to save. So I developed a philosophy. Of course, I didn't do it early on, but I developed a philosophy of giving 10% to the Lord and trying to save 10%. Never was able to save 10%. And I'm going to read here from Malachi. The third chapter, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, my dad always said when I was a young man that all churches wanted was your money. But does God want your money here? Is it really talking about money? Tithing is just an indication of your love for God's house, for God's ministers, for the lost, for the whole world. It's just an indication of your lack of love for the Lord. Love is a currency. all blessings come from loving God and being obedient. Now, we're all individuals. God made every one of us. He showed me one time, one of the few times the Spirit of God came upon me, we were with God before we were born, before we were conceived. God puts all our genetics into us. We all have a right to be who we are, to have the experiences we had. And John 16:13 says the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. As individuals, we're not a group, we're all individuals. And now I'm going to give you a little testimony. I come home from the army in Germany in 1973, and we bought a house in Sacramento. And we moved to Owensboro in March of 76. My youngest was, I think, 5 or 6 months old. April was a little older. And we paid $30,000 for this house in Thoroughbred Acres. And later that year, I guess I was about 25, was going to Hall Street Baptist Church, and I got convicted about tithing. The Spirit came upon me, and I was really felt I should start tithing. I was grieved because I didn't have enough. We were one income family, and I didn't feel like I could do it at that time. And I was grieving around about it, and the Spirit told me, said, it's all right. You'll get there. You'll get there. And it took a few months, maybe a year, and I finally did start tithing. And about 1976, 77, I don't know when that was. In 1978, they're going to build a new subdivision on 54, Thoroughbred East out there. So I went over and put $2,000 down on I was the second guy to buy a lot in Thoroughbred East. And that was in early 78. That year, there was a big jump in real estate. The house I paid $30,000 for in Thoroughbred Acres, I sold for $45,000. And the house I made a contract for at $44,500 was that much again. God effectively doubled my equity in my homes. You know, and that's all the Lord. I had absolutely nothing to do with that. Didn't know it was going to happen. And I wondered since then if I hadn't decided to pay my tithe, if that would have happened. I don't know. I can't say. But God has been good to me. He's good to everybody. He is no respecter of persons. The more blessings you want, just get closer to the Lord and spread your love more to the best of your ability. In Jesus' name. Let me have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that something you might have said through me might touch somebody. I pray that the people would teach your children when they're young, Lord, to tithe to you and to love you and give their whole selves to you as quickly as they can. Lord, touch all these children we pray for every day. We claim every one of them in Jesus' name to be in glory with us forever. And all our children, all our grandchildren, all our great-grandchildren, Lord, touch them all. Send their guardian angels to them to lead them to you. And may we all do your will and be your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. We sure do appreciate that very much. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's look at some scriptures here for just a minute. Let's go, if we would, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. The title of this message is The Four Corners of Prosperity. The Four Corners of Prosperity. You know, as I begin to seek the Lord over exactly what the word that felt that the Lord wanted me to bring, I felt the very strong working of the Holy Spirit here. Because when you talk about four corners, you're talking about a solid foundation. You're talking about like a pillar as such. You know, you have the four corners of a house and such, and the cornerstone. And so this is we're talking about here. You know, and how that we find the right heart, the right mind, and the right attitude as we believe God to prosper us. And not only that, but another analogy that I want you to hear, and it comes from Mark 4 in verse 20. We all read it before. It talks about bearing fruit of 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, also, the blessings of the Lord come that way. Also, prosperity comes that way. You know, have you ever felt before that, hey, you know, I'm blessed. I know that I'm blessed of God, but I got this yearning and I got this urging, you know, and I want to be blessed more. I'm blessed of the Lord, but am I walking in all of the blessings of the Lord? So I want you to know there's an increase of these works of God. There's an increase to the prosperity of the Lord, to the blessings of the Lord. And so as we see that this is what formulates a firm foundation for prosperity to flow into your life as we look at this. I'll show you these four corners as we go through them. I'm going to begin right here in Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1. And as I say this, you know, this is a verse, and these are verses that I know that you're probably very familiar with. I know that, Father, you know that you've read them many, many times. You've probably heard of many a sermon upon them. But I pray that the Lord will give us all a fresh understanding and fresh vision, fresh encouragement, and renewed faith and increased faith as we look at these things. Here's what verse 1 says. It says, "Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all of the nations of the earth." You know, then God's intention is for his people to be a peculiar people, to be a distinct people that love the Lord, that follow the Lord, and receive the blessings also of the Lord. And that's what he's talking about right here. I want to tell you one thing that I've done through the years, and I know that if you have the NIV, it doesn't use the word diligently obey. It uses the word fully. It means the same thing. But this is talking about a heart and how you walk before the Lord. It's not talking about that you're obedient in everything, but it does mean that you got a heart for obedience. So I want to say that this is the corner. Number one, this is the number one corner, and that is living a life of obedience to God. We don't hear much about that anymore, do we? Really? You know, we hear a whole lot more about the grace of God than we do anything about obedience. As a matter of fact, the subject of obedience has kind of fallen out of favor. May I say to you that you don't have grace if you don't have the workings of obedience flowing in your heart at the same time. Because one of the things that grace does is it establishes you in an obedient heart after the Lord. And another point right here is he says, you know, diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful. Being careful is that you're intentional. And, you know, that means that that's my heart's desire, is that I want to love the Lord with all my heart, and I want to be obedient to him. I want to be obedient to him, even if I have to suffer, even if it costs me something. And matter of fact, I don't think that anybody can really be obedient if they do not receive that in their heart, you know, because they'll always flow with the approval of men or of the world or according to their own will, their own desire, or the influence of other people. There's a cost at walking with the Lord. We don't like to talk about that either. But you can't walk with the Lord without knowing that there's a cost to be paid. You know, it far outweighs, you know, the glory that you're to receive, far outweighs any cost that it would ever cost you. It might cost you a job. It may cost you friends. It may cost you this. It may cost you that. I don't know. But I want you to know that it's worth it, whatever it would be. Because this is how we walk and keep covenant with God and receive the blessings of the Lord. Make no mistake about it that the will of God is to bring blessings into your life. That is the will of God, is to bring blessings all the way to the point to where we know that the word of the Lord says that he delights in giving us the desires of our heart. That word prosperity in the Hebrew is toba, T-O-B-A-H. It means welfare. It means good things. It means goodness. It means happiness. It also means the word pleasure. You know, so this is the will of God, you know, as we line up with the Lord. Let me give you some other scriptures here that have to do with living obediently before the Lord. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, "And let them say continually," now this is the saints, "let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant." You know, he delights, he has a heart that we would prosper in the Lord. You know, I'll hear others and that'll say, ah, you know, I'm okay, everything's fine. I'm satisfied, I got everything I need. What a wrong way to be thinking before the Lord, because first of all, there's all kinds of prosperity, and as we've been teaching and looking at, that prosperity has a lot more to do with than just simply how many dollars that you got in your bank account. You know, you can be have a bank account that's full and live in total poverty of spirit. You know, I knew a particular couple, and I won't get into that, but they had more money than they knew what to do with. But they were probably two of the most unhappy people that I believe that I'd ever seen. And there was such a hollowness and there was such an emptiness that was in their life. Now, they could do anything that they wanted to do, you know, but in reality, you know what they really were? Bored. They were bored, you know, because they were not obedient to God. They played around with the things of God. They lived on the fringes of the kingdom of God, but they didn't step in fully with all of their heart before the Lord. And so they could not receive the true riches of the kingdom and the prosperity that they really needed in their life. And this is how the Spirit of God unfolds prosperity. Yes, if you need a financial blessing, you need to be asking the Lord for financial blessing. But if you need God to move in relationships, if you need Him to move in your work or your job or in family or family members or whatever it would be, there's many types of prosperity and blessings that the Lord brings. I'm kind of putting those together right there. You know this one very well. It says right here in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. That Greek word is euodo, and it means a prosperous journey, or it also means to succeed. You know, so you pray and you believe God, Lord, give us success. We're asking for that for our project, but more than that, for us to be effective servants of God in our community and in our lives. And we should ask and we should believe and we should expect for success from Almighty God. You should personally believe and expect for success, because this is the will of God. Now, He may begin and do other things in your life or whatever it would be, and He may want you to give Him some things and take you down a course to where you can receive from Him. I'm going to read on in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And then it says, if you will obey the Lord your God. You know, so that intentional heart to be obedient to God. I want to be obedient to God. I want to obey. I don't want to look, just simply hit the finer points and then do what I want. No, I want to be obedient. And as I become obedient, I desire more for obedience. And just as Dennis said, you know, the root and foundation of that is love. And it's love. And it's also the true work of faith. You know, faith without obedience is not a real faith in the first place. Because faith leads you to obedience. Love for the Lord leads you to obey. I want to please you, O Lord God. And I don't want to leave anything out. It's not works. It's not works in any form or any fashion. And be careful with that message of grace that is out there today. Because there's something many times that is completely missing in the message of grace. And that is obedience unto God. And we need and we must be obedient. And if we have a right heart, we desire it. You know, so this is what we find here. And notice the word if. It keeps showing up. It showed up. Now it shall be if you will diligently obey. Here in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on over you and come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Being careful. It's not like that you're perfect, but you're being careful. You choose that way. You walk after it. In the Lord. I'll tell you a little habit of my own that I have done through the years, you know, especially when I felt like I was really being hard pressed at a particular point or time. You know, I would take this scripture right here and I would read before the Lord, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. I don't feel overtaken, God. I don't feel overtaken. Your promise, Lord, is you said you'd overtake me. I've done that on many occasions. On many occasions. And seeing the rich and the mighty and the full and the glorious blessings of the Lord flowing in my life. You know, so I want you to know that God is true to His word, and He loves for you to hold Him accountable, okay, to His word. He loves for you to hold Him accountable to His word. When I say that, I'm talking about, and you see these examples all through the world. Moses did this all the time. He reminded the Lord what He'd promised. And you see this continually. Look at all of the quotes that you have in the New Testament of the Old Testament. Everything that is built in the New Testament came out of the Old Testament, right? And they were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another verse, verse 3. It says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. And then it speaks of areas of being blessed. Blessed in the city and the country means that your circumstances and conditions will not rule over the power of God for you to be blessed, no matter what the circumstance may be. Now, that's really incredible, isn't it? Right? Because the world lives by circumstances. We do not live by circumstances. We live by covenant promise of Almighty God. We live in the kingdom, and we take hold of kingdom life, and we take hold of kingdom principles, and we take hold of kingdom promises. And then as we believe upon them before the Lord, the Spirit of God begins to orchestrate things in our lives. And just understand that He knows how to touch you with the prosperity of God. He knows what the greatest blessing that you need next in your life. You know, so you ask of God, but as you ask of God, you trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord, and you be submissive to Him. You be submissive to Him. And if He takes you on a detour, then so be it that He takes you on a detour and you give glory and honor and praise to God. Now then the second corner that we have here in the word of the Lord, and I'm going to connect it to the word blessing right here. And this is the second corner, and that is to be a blessing, to be a blessing. It's very difficult for you to find the blessings of the Lord without you seeking to be a blessing. You know, and this is the scripture that I want to read. It comes from Ephesians chapter 6, and it's verse 8. It says, knowing, you know, that's a faith act, and that's a revelation. That's a faith act and a revelation. That's a witness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. I love this. Whether slave or free. Now, you know, and it's speaking in the day and culture of the time, because slavery's been among us for a long time, right? And around the entire world. A lot of it's not just talked about, but it's been in the world. It's been throughout all of life and of times. But my point to this is that here again is that your blessings are not dictated by your circumstance. Whether you're free or whether you're a slave. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? You know, he's saying that this is what will come in your life. Knowing that whatever good thing each one of us, one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. The Spirit of the Lord, when I was doing this, gave me a question. And here's the question. I'm going to read it the way that I heard it. Do you look to being a blessing or just bump into being one occasionally? And that's a way that a lot of people, this is an intention of the way that you live before the Lord. It's got nothing to do with your pocketbook. Oh, you know, and you know, the evil one wants you to covet. You remember they were promised a gift, and then Paul wrote them a letter that you be careful with what you've promised. You be careful lest it be affected by covetousness. And this is a great temptation in the world and the way of the flesh, is to covet. And also to be deceived to think that you have to live, you know, the way my mother would put it, is keep up with the Joneses, right? You know, and the evil one will hit you with it. Why is it that everybody's got a new car? Why is it everybody's got a new house and everything? Everybody but me. The devil is a liar, okay? The devil is a liar. And I just want to encourage you. I'm just going to be honest, if you don't mind me doing it. and that is a lot of those people that have that nice, great, big, wonderful, beautiful house, and oh, it is, and that wonderful, beautiful car, the one, just the one you'd like to have, right? Nobody's like that but me, right? Okay, anyway. A lot of them are in debt up to their ears. Don't you dare miss a day of work because you can't afford to do it, right? And then now you become enslaved to these things. Now, I want to encourage you as best you can. And Dennis talked about setting a path. You know, things don't happen overnight. You know, you make a decision and you walk after the decision and then you begin to work on it. You begin to chisel away at the things that you need to chisel away. I can't afford to tithe. Become where you can't afford a tithe. A tithing is for the rich people or the well-to-do. No, it's not. It's for everybody. Right? It's for everybody. And it, as Dennis spoke, it's an obedience to God. I can't afford that. I don't know how I would ever do it. Work at it. Work at it and achieve it. You know, and be beyond that a blessing. I just want to name some things that will keep you from being a blessing. This is the financial blessing. You know, this is helping others. This is loving on other people. This is taking time for people. Take time, because this is the true value of God. The true value of God is in souls. That's what God values. And you need to understand that that's what God values. He values lives. He values people. Of course, souls are eternal. Souls are eternal. Everything else is going to rust. Everything else is going to rust and fade away. You know, invest in the treasure of Almighty God. Invest in the treasure of Almighty God. Get your heart and your mind off of all of that concerns you and get your mind on the kingdom and the business of Almighty God. Blessings will flow. Well, I'm well and secure and this and that. But don't tell me that there's not blessings that you don't need. Anyway. So this is the number two, and that is be a blessing. And just ask God to move in your life and be watchful as to how you can bless others. I'm going to read on here again. And this is now, I'm reading here in verse 5. Blessed shall you, your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Isn't that good? The Lord will cause. Everybody say the Lord will cause. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. That's called victory, right? Here's verse 8. The Lord will command. Everybody say, the Lord commands. The Lord will command a blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land. And that land for us, it was the land of promise. It was, the land filled with milk and honey, which is also a type of the covenant promises for you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the land that we're seeking. The land we're seeking to possess is the fullness of the kingdom of God. The fullness and blessings, the covenant promises, the covenant purpose and will and life of the kingdom. That's what we're seeking for. And so he says right here, and in all that you put your hand to, and I will bless you in the land which the Lord God gives you. Now, I want to look at this, and I want to come down here in verse 12, and it says right here, the Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens. He wants you to know where the storehouse is at. All right? He wants you to know where the storehouse is at. Okay, too many people in the kingdom of God, they don't have a kingdom spirit, they got a poverty spirit. And when I say a poverty spirit, is they look at everything from a worldly standpoint. They look from the standpoint of a paycheck, you know, and the way the world economy works and this. You know, you'll see many retired people, you know, just be absolutely tormented because all they can do is look at their 401k and look at the stock market every day. You know, I don't look at the stock market every day. And it's great to have those things. I'm not saying that they're wrong in any way, but praise God. But don't put your hope in mammon. Put your hope in God. And be a kingdom-spirited person, minded individual, and not a poverty spirit person. A poverty spirit person is living in all of limitations, You know, and all of their planning and all of their hope is in the ways of men and man, and not in faith and believing upon the covenant promises of Almighty God. I just want to encourage you to be a kingdom-spirited individual. Be a kingdom-spirited individual. This good storehouses of heaven. You know, and you may say, well, I'm a certain age, you know, and, you know, what's God going to do? I'm not going to go back to work or I'm set with where I'm working at now. Prosperity is greater than a dollar bill. And there will be things as that prosperity unfolds in your life, it'll unfold according to your need. Because let me tell you something, God knows your need. He knows what your need is. He may know your need better than you know your need. Right? Okay? And then once he begins to fill that area, you go, oh my gosh, you know? I just didn't realize this is more and greater to me than any riches of a dollar bill would bring to me in my life. If you need finances, ask for finances. Ask for whatever you need from the Lord and believe upon God. But understand that God has many blessings to bring into your life. You know, we looked at that, and then here's verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. That's another one I'll take to God many times as well. And I read that scripture. I'll read it to God. And Lord, I feel like I'm more the tail today than I do the head. But your promise is you said you'd make me the head, Lord God. Take the things that the evil one seeks to stomp you down with and use them against the enemy and use them to advance yourself in the kingdom of God, because you take those things and turn them around and you give them to God in faith. There's another place here. Okay, now if you would turn to another place, I want you to turn over here into Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 29, let me read these scriptures to you kind of quickly. You know, we got two more. So we see right here obedience. Obedience is one of the cornerstones of true prosperity, obedience. And then secondly, we find that to be a blessing. To be a blessing is one of the cornerstones. You know, it is one of the cornerstones of the true prosperity of Almighty God. Here is now Deuteronomy 29, and I want you to look at verse 9. It says, so keep the words of the covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You know, and so, you know, let the Lord be Lord over your heart, over your body, over your circumstances, over your need, and also over your money. How can that not be? How can that not be? And then what's the promise? To be obedient to the covenant, that you may what? That you may prosper. That you may prosper. Look down here in verse 12. Verse 12 says, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God is making with you here today. You know, so the covenant, we walk in the covenant of the Lord. I want you to come down here and I want you to look at verse 24. And all of the nations will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? Why this great outburst of anger? Verse 25, then men shall say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Verse 26 says, and they went and they served other gods and they worshiped them, gods whom they have not known and whom he had not allotted to them. You know, so we walk in faithfulness to God. We walk in the covenant of the Lord and we walk in obedience. This is a familiar scripture. This is also, we come to now in Deuteronomy 30, and in Deuteronomy 30, what we come to is we come now the third cornerstone right here, and that is that to be a believer and to live a life of faith. Look at this down here in Deuteronomy 30, and I'm just going to use this verse right here, verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Ever heard that before anywhere? Well, yes, that is quoted in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, right? These very scriptures here, I've made reference to that, all right? So this is the act of faith. Live a life of faith. Here is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Live a life of faith. Receive what Jesus has done for you. The only way that you'll ever be pleasing to God is by believing God. You will never earn what you have been given. You'll never earn it. Let go of it. Let go of it. You believe God and you have real faith, God's going to make you obedient. He'll make you obedient. He'll give you power in your life. He'll give you His heart for. You know, and the things that you used to struggle with and the things you indulged in that were not of the Lord will come to an end. He'll remove them. He'll remove them. Love Him with all of your heart. Love Him with all of your heart. Don't be afraid to love the Lord. Don't be afraid to be obedient to God and believe upon Him. This is the root and the foundation of the covenant that we've received in Jesus. It is a covenant of faith, and we receive it on the basis of faith through grace. And so this is what he's talking about right here. Let me read this a little bit further for you. Let me come on down here in verse 18. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. He's talking about them not being obedient. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess it. Here's 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Now, how do you do that? Look at verse 20. By loving the Lord, your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So obedience comes from loving the Lord. And so the way we walk is we walk by faith in the new covenant of the Lord. And if we believe God, the things that we can't change, that we can't do anything about, I'm talking about mainly about within ourselves, then we trust the Lord to bring forth His promises, His power, and His glory, which that's exactly what He will do. And now I'm going to come to this last one right here, and I want you, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and a promise that I want to read to you. And this is now in Deuteronomy in chapter 33, and I want to begin in verse 26. There is none like the God of Jeshua who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in His majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. As I had a friend of mine used to say, that's a refrigerator verse, right? That's a refrigerator. You know that, you know, write it out, put it on the refrigerator. Every time you go to the refrigerator, you read it, right? Okay. You know, that's not really a bad habit, you know that? You know, refrigerator verses, you know, write them out, you know, and write out that scripture. And then, you know, because a lot of people have a habit of going to the refrigerator a lot, you know. So anyway, so you can go to the refrigerator and boy, and you just make it a part of it. And read scriptures, take them, read them out loud before you reach in there and grab that other piece of pie. Read it out loud, okay? All right? Now, I'm not joking. This is a good habit. And he would say that, boy, that'd make a good refrigerator verse, wouldn't it? You know. Here's number four, and then the last one right here that makes a soundness of true prosperity. And this is to be generous. To be generous. You're called that in the Lord, to be generous. Right here you see the generosity of the Lord that has been given to you and me, who rides the heavens to your help. Oh, isn't that good? Rides the heavens to your help. This is what Proverbs 11:25 says. The generous man will be prosperous. And listen to this part. And he who waters will himself be watered. You know, I thought to myself, you know, okay, he who waters, he himself will be watered. I thought to myself just a minute, I thought, well, okay, let's say I don't water. Now what happens? Now what happens? That word generous, nadiv, N-A-D-I-V, Hebrew word. Listen to this. It means a voluntary giving, willing. And you know what else is attached to its definition? What else is attached to its definition is it means noble. It means noble. And it means, how about this one? Prince-like. Right? You know, that kind of generosity, you know, the generosity of a benevolent king, which you are, okay? Take your place in Jesus, right? Which you are. Take your place in Jesus. You know, so, you know, this is the word of the Lord right here. Here's another place. It's Proverbs 22:9 says, he who is generous will be blessed. That's speaking pretty plain, isn't it? That's speaking pretty plain. Amen, amen, and praise God. Now, this is the four corners of a solid foundation of prosperity. That, you know, that we're not tunnel vision. We're not narrow-minded as defining the prosperity of the Lord. And knowing that it is the will of God that you be blessed. It is the will of God that your offspring be blessed. All these things, you know, and some of these things I would say to you, you have to get before God and hammer them out, all right? You've heard me say that before. Hammer it out with the Lord. Hammer it out with the Lord. Some of these things you need to hammer out to the Lord. But understand as you do that, that you know the will of God because you've been told the will of God. Hold God's promises up to Him and pray them back to Him. And stand on them and proclaim them and claim them in the Lord. And the Lord will begin to move because you begin to take up that covenant that He's given to us. Because it's a covenant that comes through faith in believing Him. Kathy, why don't y'all come on up?